All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking, and in a few moments, we're going to be bringing on none other than Terry Gates, but we understand we have a caller on the line.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Who is this?
Oh, hey, this is Jay. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I listened to you guys down at Greensboro the other night. I just wanted to let you guys know it sounded really good. So are y'all going to do another pregame dinner, at the next first game?
Well, you know, believe it or not, Habbo and Franco have got a huddle right after this show tonight and make a decision, and it's mostly budget. So we'll have to figure out how to make it happen. But, Jay, we appreciate the comment. And
yeah, it sounded really good.
We appreciate it. We work hard at it. And I thought
you, Jay, you make it sound like that was unusual for it to sound really good.
No, it just sounded real professional, and just enjoyed listening to it.
Well, that is unusual.
Too bad they didn't win, but
the next one. I'm just kidding. We really appreciate your comments, and we've done the shows from Greensboro 2 or 3 years now, I think, and
four times.
How time flies when you're having fun. Well, we were having fun until Friday night. We
did fun until Carolina decided to stomp us like grapes.
It's been a real pleasure. And again, we should thank Virginia Sports Properties because they make it possible, in addition to our sponsors, for us to do it down there at the ACC tournament.
Well, and while we're on that subject, we should thank Dave Stipe, our engineer down there in Greensboro Coliseum. He did a terrific job keeping us straight, as well as Jesse Varner here in the studio, Fox Sports 910 studio, making sure that the transmission went successfully. So both those men did a great job and really helped us. All right. Without further ado, we have none other than UVA Enforcer Deluxe, 6'8", never to be denied, a second helping of cold beer, Terry Gates.
You know, there's no comment on that, but I want to know one thing, Frank and Hollow. Who is Jared, and how much did they pay him?
We did pay him a lot, must admit. We stroked him a check, asked him to call in. No, but believe it or not, that was unsolicited.
I want double what y'all pay him. Double.
Listen, I've taken you to dinner and bought you plenty of beers. That should be enough.
I refuse to believe that Terry Gates would drink a beer. A man of his stature, he's drinking a Diet Coke or something like that.
Yeah, he likes that bourbon barrel stout stuff. it looks like motor oil. Yeah. All right, without further ado, let's talk about the NCAA tournament, and we're going to call upon you to remember the good old days. And, you know, what did Terry Holland do in this week between the end of the ACC tournament leading into those first two games of the NCAA tournament? And what are your recollections, and what worked and what didn't work?
Well, you know, the parallels between 1981 and this year are remarkable. We lost to Notre Dame mid-February for our first loss. And then I think we lost to Wake Forest even when Ralph got sick. And I think I started center that game. And then we lost to a Maryland team that wasn't that good. I'm being very facetious in the ACC tournament and semifinals. I mean, it was Buck Williams and
let me see if I can make this
Albert
decision.
King. Albert King and
Terry
Buck Williams.
Gates, Ralph Sampson. Terry Gates, Ralph Sampson. You know, Terry. I don't see much of a drop off there.
Terry did fine, didn't he?
So you know, we lost and had that, and it was nice to have an extra day off. But in that day, I believe there was only 48 teams, so we had to play. Play Villanova in the old Charlotte Coliseum, and they had played already on that court and won, and that was a game we were lucky to get out of.
Well, that back in those days, where the teams got byes, that was kind of a mixed blessing periodically because, as you say, the other team's already got a win under their belt. They those games, they have a day off in between, so you don't have the exhaustion or tired factor or fatigue factor. So, at any rate, you're getting my spirits pumped up by making these similar comparisons here. Obviously, your team went to the Final Four and had a great opportunity to get to the final game. Do you see that kind of path for the current Hoos?
I do. I think they're flounder is not a good word, but they're kind of treading water right now. And the teams that will do well in this tournament are peaking. And, you know, I thought Carolina, with the game they played against Virginia, they played very well. They passed the ball very well. They shot the ball very well. And you know, there's some big players they have. They threw over our defense early in that first half, hobbled, and got some really, really good shots. And we kind of sit around the offensive end, as we did pretty much for the first 30 minutes of the game, looking for someone to do something. And, you know, Virginia's game is bringing, you know, have them play your style. It's defensively and offensively. And, you know, I think Anderson in there creates somewhat of a problem if he's not shooting, because if you got like a Nolte, his job's to shoot, but Justin's in here, so do I not shoot? And Frank alluded to it early in the program that, you know, there's some shuffling going on, bringing him back into the offense, and you know, with playing time. So, you know, a lot's going on, and it will take one game for Justin to play well and Toby to play well, and we won't be scratching our head what happened at Louisville and what happened, you know, in Greensboro. But as Barry Parkhill brought up, those are two formidable teams that we lost to under circumstances that, you know, senior night in Louisville, Kentucky, and on the 22,000, and, you know, Carolina is playing for some of their past glory for a season that really hasn't met their expectations.
You know, if Justin practices this week and looks good in practice, would you expect him to start on Friday?
That's a good one. I think if he's shooting the ball, and that's the team that they expect to take to the Final Four or to the next game, I'd start him. He might not play him as much. He might be the first guy out. But I would think he has, you know, he might need to be going full tilt. And defensively, if Belmont has four guards, I don't think I'd want him guarding me. I don't care if I'm the center, if I'm the power forward, or I'm a point guard. I don't think I want a Justin Anderson, you know, having to check me. So he would be a positive, you know, I believe, for the team on both sides of the ball.
Well, today at the press conference at JPJ, Coach Bennett talked about Justin Anderson quite a bit. They're looking to see if they can modify the padding on his shooting hand. He assumes there'll be more x-rays this week to check on his hand. And he's wondering if the medical staff can modify that padding. He said the biggest issue really has been too many breaks in the practice schedule for Justin, and that this week he might have a more normal practice schedule. And I could tell you from being in the locker room after both the win against Florida State and then the loss against Carolina, Justin Anderson spoke with some serious determination and was very candid. He wants to help his teammates, and he feels terrible about it. They had cameras on him for the entire time we were in the locker room, as much as any player on the Virginia team, and he seemed to want to take all the responsibility for the loss, which, as you know, is not possible. But I wouldn't be surprised if Justin Anderson doesn't emerge this weekend and we start to see some of the things that we've seen all season from him. But, I don't see him starting. Maybe I'm wrong, but we'll see.
Well, you know, the one thing you can't do is re-injure it. Because that would not, you know, you'd have a hard time factoring or thinking or projecting Virginia to be in a Final Four if he's not playing. So the last thing you want to do is get him hurt or make either one of his two medical situations, you know, take a step backwards. But having said that, if you watch Michigan State play yesterday, they're going to need him on Sunday.
Well, the problem is the only way to keep him from possibly re-injuring the hand is don't play him, and they're not going to do that. So, I mean, that may just be a risk you have to take. Going to the Belmont game, if they do this four-guard lineup, the one tweak in the rotation that we might see is Mike Toby may play a little or fewer minutes because he may be the one. I can see Gill and or Atkins getting out on a perimeter shooter.
Devin Hall's going to play more.
Toby, not so much.
Yeah, Devin Hall.
Whew. Well, you know, having said that, you know, I think there are times where you might want to play him and Atkins just to put pressure on Belmont's defense.
Yes.
I mean, you know, passed over the top of us a couple times on Friday.
Yep.
You know, you could fight that problem on the offensive end, and you know, he doesn't bring the ball down in time. If you keep the ball up in the air, you know, I think I'd want him to play more. Now, the 9 minutes he played against Carolina with four fouls, that is not a good – I don't think it's ever a good sign if Mike Tobe plays 9 minutes for Virginia.
I agree.
Well, Frank's been a Mike Tobe guy. You know, now what you may be advocating is what I've been talking about for a long time is changing to hockey rules where you can change on the fly, you know.
Right.
Just run them in and out of there, right?
No. That would just be a way for you to cherry pick down at the other end and never have to go, you know, this is not 6-on-6 in Iowa, you know, 40 years ago. Okay, you do have to play defense. But anyway.
Hey, Terry, looking at what do you think maybe of the top two or three keys for Virginia this week getting ready for Friday's game at 3 o'clock?
I think they have to be themselves. I mean, I think they have to they have to play the defense. If you're a half step slow on that defense, another team at this time of year is shooting really good shots. And then I think some kids need to be aggressive, need to understand inside of 15 seconds on a shot clock, if I'm open, you know, if I'm a Nolte, that I need to take that shot. They threw it to me. I'm open. I'm going to shoot it in kind of the same way that, you know, Shayok does. I mean, I'm open. I'm a shooter. I need to step up. Need to make that offense a little bit easier at times because there are times where the ball just comes back to Malcolm, and he's forced to kind of lower the front-end loader and go to the basket, which is not a bad thing. But at this time of the year, they're not going to, you know, put you on the free throw line. It's going to be a little more to require more contact in the average game to put somebody on a free throw line.
You know, the other guy that may have to step up a little bit is London Perrantes. You know, I know he's a pass-first guy, but he's a good enough shooter that when he gets an open look, he needs to be willing to take it.
Yeah, and sometimes this late in the year, you know, you got these game plans. Well, we're not going to let so-and-so beat us. We're not going to let, we're not going to let Malcolm beat us. We're not going to let Anderson beat us. We're not going to let Gil beat us. But we're going to let some of the other guys. You're right, Jim. I think some guys need to say, and I know at this time of year, even I would take a jump shot just from the fact that you're embarrassing me. You're not even guarding me. So catch the ball two steps further in. I'm wide open. You shoot it. And I think you guys need to do that. Now, there is a three-point line, and I think guys like Nolte, this is his time of year. I mean, if we don't advance, there is no more season, and it would be a great season, but it's not the season that I think that everyone is hoping for and is to advance and, you know, getting to the Final Four would be the ultimate. I'm not saying they have to win it to have a successful year, but to get to there would be a major accomplishment and put the icing on the cake for this year.
Well, I couldn't agree more, and that's probably the best way it can be said. Terry, thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to head to our break. On the other side, we are going to bring Chris Sill on to do the FOSS Home Team Olympic Sports Report, and then do a little prognosticating of the NCAA tournament. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.